And I want to talk a little bit about the difference between intention and goals. Because intention is something that's on the inside of us. You don't see my intention. You see my goals. And you can see my habits.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today, Dr. Randy continues his teaching, Achieve Your Goals. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to the Intentional Living Center. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool here in just a moment as I do some comparing and contrasting and teaching on the research that we have done on the difference between intention, goals, and habits. And so just hang on. I hope this will be very helpful to you. And will encourage you in your walk and give you some insight into your own life. If you're a person that wants to grow, this is a good program for you, especially today. Just before I go back to the teaching studio and continue Achieve Your Goals, we just want to remind all friends and those of you that have been in the path of this destructive storm, Irma, that we've been praying for you. We're thankful to be in partnership with so many Christian radio stations that air the program. We're praying for you as well as you have opportunity to reach out. We want you to know this is a time to be very intentional, and we're intentional in our prayer and support for you all, getting the word out. All right, let's go to the teaching studio and continue. Achieve your goals.
A goal is always directional. It's specific. It's something that we can stretch for, and the Apostle Paul gives us an example of that. It's a very specific thing that Paul is going after. And that goal will dictate everything in his life. And listen to what Paul says. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing, we've heard that before, right? But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul's doing two or three very important things here. And then he jumps over into verse 15 and says, therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this same mind. Here's what Paul is doing. He developed the habit. Of course, we call it the power of one thing. But Paul is going to be obsessed with the habitual focus on the goal that he has. Not only does he have the habit of pursuing the goal, but what does he say? He says, I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to forget those things in the past which are holding me down. I have seen people not be able to pursue our goals because of the messages that come from our past. And you'll see if you read this passage in Philippians 3 that Paul is very clear in saying, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing to those things which are ahead. He's saying you can't do this. It's impossible to be pulled in two different, you ever feel that way, like two different directions? You're getting pulled in the direction of the past, the hurts, the failures. It could be a divorce. It could be a stupid decision. It could be the lost years. Any number of things in the past. But in Paul's case, if you read earlier in the chapter, he lays out a whole list of things he did. He said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He talks about how he persecuted, how he was an example as a Jewish leader. And he says, I count all of those things rubbish so I can now pursue this one thing that matters in my life. And he's telling the people who are reading this letter and the church in Philippi, he's telling them, if you want to pursue a goal, he didn't use, maybe he did use the word goal, right? I pursue the prize. He's saying, I'm going to have the one thing. He said, I'm going to forget the things which are behind. What else did he say he was going to do? He's going to reach. And he also says in verse 15, think as I think. Do you see what Paul is saying? He's developed habits of his mind. He's developing habits of his behavior. Now, I don't think anything I've shared so far is necessarily that profound. I mean, we all know this. If you want to have a goal, you got to have habits that pursue, that are going to support it so you can pursue the goal that you have. Well, there's another leg here. And as I've been thinking as this intentional living continues to evolve in my heart and my mind, I realize that this is really the most significant leg. And I think the reason that there's a failure rate that's so high between a goal that is set and the habits required is this particular leg. And we know the word here. It's intention. And I want to talk a little bit about the difference between intention and goals. Because intention is something that's on the inside of us. You don't see my intention. You see my goals. And you can see my habits. But I want you to hear, what was the purpose? What was the intention in Paul's heart that drove him to this goal and those habits? And we can see it right there in verses 9 and 10 of Philippians chapter 3. Let me just read it for you, because it'll be easier since some of you don't have your Bibles here this morning. And listen to what Paul says. He talks about putting all things behind him. He said, I count all of these things rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And then he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith, circle that, faith, because here's the deal, you got to have faith to pursue your goals. Because if you're pursuing a goal that doesn't require faith, it's not much of a goal.
You're listening to Dr. Randy's teaching from Achieve Your Goals, and he'll continue in just a moment.
Learning to be intentional will help you to live intentionally, which will have a profound influence on your life and even those around you. When you become a monthly member, Dr. Randy's teachings will help you to be a more intentional parent, a more intentional spouse, and you'll get a better understanding of what God wants to do in your life. Join today, and as a monthly member, you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which contains autographed copies of Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the Intentional Living Wristband. And every month, you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's teaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717, and press number 4.
One thing that I do, substitute a fruit or a vegetable for something that I would otherwise grab. Carrots are a great one. Apples are another one. They satisfy the craving far better than a sweet or processed food, and they're much healthier and have fewer calories.
When I bake, I cut the sugar in half, most of the time in half. Sometimes not quite half, but it doesn't alter the way the food tastes. It gives you a lot less sugar, and it's a great thing. My daughter started doing it, and she found it really successful, so I thought I'd pass it on because it's a good, healthy way to go with baking.
I set out to lose half a pound a week. I just said, let me lose half a pound by next Thursday. I kept going and eventually lost over 40 pounds over a year. Eating natural foods, whole foods, just trying to eliminate processed foods, exercising a little bit, but nothing too consistent. I slowly put those pounds on, and so by doing this, I slowly took the pounds off, and I've kept them off.
Now let's get back with Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues, Achieve Your Goals.
And listen to what Paul says. He talks about putting all things behind him. He said, I count all of these things rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And then he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith, circle that, faith, because here's the deal, you got to have faith to pursue your goals. Because if you're pursuing a goal that doesn't require faith, it's not much of a goal. Because if you don't have to have trust God, ultimately, you're doing it on your own. That's why our goals need to be big in terms of, I don't mean big in terms of huge in terms of the world's measure, but big for you in terms of I got to trust God for it. Because goals that are just big enough for me to do myself are pretty small. And if they don't require much faith or any faith, then God's taken out of the equation. So to set a goal that's going to require faith is what Paul is saying here, that I may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And here's the key. Here was Paul's intention behind setting this goal in verse 10, that I may know him. That's it. There was Paul's intention. His intention was to know God. Here's the deal, as I see it. The reason we fail at our goals is because our intentions aren't big enough. And what do we call it? Good intentions. We call it good intentions. Small goals rest on small intentions. Big goals, large goals, have to rest on large intentions. And we fail at goals because a good intention isn't good enough. And the point that I believe, as I've really looked at this, the intention, the goals, and the habits, which, by the way, others teach this in terms of the why and the how and the what. You've heard that as well. Some of you may see and hear head and heart and hand, and you may see other things that we've taught over the years in terms of intentional living. But we succeed at goals when our intentions are not only good, but they're all-consuming. I believe the reason we fail at goals, we talk about procrastination. Why is it that we don't procrastinate on one thing, but we procrastinate on another thing? The only answer I can come to is that because that thing we really want, and this thing we're not quite so committed to. And when our intentions, in this case, Paul, his ultimate goal was to know God and the power of his resurrection. That was so consuming in his life, in his case, was the goal to press, to reach, to stretch, that I, in some way, he said, may obtain salvation. I mean, if you look at this, you say, this is a pretty works-based kind of a passage, right? Because this is the same Paul who earlier in the book of Ephesians talked to us that it's by grace, you know, through faith that we're saved, not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. So he's obviously not contradicting himself. What he's saying to us is this intention of my life is so consuming to know God that I choose to press toward the prize. And the only way I'm going to know him is to press. You don't get spiritual by just being a Christian. You don't get spiritual by waking up in the morning and saying, I'm a Christian. You don't get spiritual by listening to the radio. That's not going to make you spiritual. It can help you grow. It's part of what we do with the ministry. But you've got to dig in. You've got to read the scripture. You've got to grow. You've got to apply what the scripture teaches. You have to stretch for it. And what Paul is saying to us here is that I choose to stretch. I choose to change my mind. I choose to be very intentional in pursuing this goal and developing these habits in my life. Now, when goals are clear, here's how we're successful. When we succeed at goals, when our intentions are not only good, but they're all-consuming, when our goals are clear, and when our habits become second nature in our life. There really is the triad of how we live an intentional life in Christ.
We have more on this. We're live back in our Intentional Living studio. More on achieving your goals. And by the way, this entire series is on a CD going out to all of our members, those who support every month. Thank you. You men and women and businesses are the ones that allow us to do this ministry. And I thank you for your faithful monthly support and the entire teaching, Achieve Your Goals, coming your way. If you're not a member, come and join us. We have an incentive to encourage you to do so. Not only will you start receiving this kind of hope and help and giving you some peace and direction in your life from our Intentional Living Center every month to say thank you for your support, but we have a new member kit to kind of help you get started. It includes two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, Star for Affection, a book for couples, and The Power of One Thing. It's an intentional living book. And I said, hey, guys, let's also put into the box, the kit, the One Thing wristband that I wear every day. I'm encouraging you to wear it for 30 days at least. As you read The Power of One Thing, it'll make more sense. It's our gift to you. And then, of course, the CDs every month. Come and join us. Be a part of the team. Just go to theintentionallife.com. The website's there, theintentionallife.com. When you get there, just click on the donate. It's up in the right-hand corner. I'm looking at it right now. And all the information's there for you. Come and join us. Be a part of this team. We'd love to have you. I look forward to meeting you through this membership relationship. Just go to theintentionallife.com. Hey, also coming up, information on the Intentional Love Marriage Conference. I'm going to share that with you in just a few minutes. Coming to Michigan, New Mexico, and Arizona. All about that in just a little bit. Coming up as well in just a couple of minutes, a Q&A time with our staff and friends who were with me when I taught this lesson. So don't go away.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
If you've got a minute, I dare you to try this habit.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
You know, successful people have habits that others just aren't willing to do. One owner of a family-owned business told me that he does the same thing every day. Every morning before he takes a phone call or checks email, he takes 30 minutes to breathe deeply, read something inspirational, pray, and really look at his calendar to see if what he is doing is important. He said this has made all the difference. Successful people are disciplined and they're focused, and they dare to say no to time wasters and activities that get them nowhere. So what activity could you do? What habit could you adopt this week? Go ahead. I dare you. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
My story is, it goes back to high school. I was 17 years old and I found out I was pregnant. Well, I was raised with morals and ethics and my values were high, so I had to raise a baby. There was no choice there. And my family was very supportive, but I had to weigh what I was going to do with the rest of my life. I had goals to go to college and become a school teacher. And I didn't give up on my goals. I'm doing great. I've got a little boy that's going to be 10, another one that's 5 years old, and I teach kindergarten.
Boy, that is a thank you. That's a beautiful illustration. She had her goals. She wanted to be a teacher. She didn't give up on her goals. She did some things. She did, you know, she acted in ways she knows she shouldn't have, but she said, hey, listen, I have morals and values. I have intentions, and I want to live these intentions. I'm going to live them out. She's been faithful, forgiven, and focused. And that's a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing your story. We'd love to hear yours, by the way. We always love your stories. 888-888-1717, press number 2. We've been talking about achieving your goals, so let's go back to the teaching studio here at the Intentional Living Center. And I want you to hear from my staff and guests. I threw out the question, and I posed the question, what keeps you from achieving your goals?
If the why is not strong, you know, if right. It's just a nice thing that you thought up and you're not committed to it, then yeah, you could definitely fall and not follow through.
Most of us start with the what. Most of us come up with goals in terms of something we want to do, but I think we, instead of stopping and say, well, where is that tied to a why, we jump right over here to the how process. And that's where I think we lose the energy over time. It doesn't sustain without, this is the foundation that's going to hold up the whole process. How about some others? What is it?
I think sometimes if we don't write it down, we forget about it. We get busy with other things, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I wanted to do that. And then we put it off again and put it off again and until we actually sit down and have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you never follow through.
Paul was an amazing person when you think about it. When he lays out, he really shares with us the process. One of the reasons that the Bible has, it feels as you read it as being a valid text, is the fact that some of these, they share their warts, they share their failures, They share the things that they're doing. It's not just some theoretical thing. They actually, they talk about how life actually works. That's what I find with the Bible so encouraging, is that it's not just a book of, you know, facts, but you see in here Paul actually laying out the process he went through to say, I'm after the prize. I mean, I don't know about you, but I grew up with in the church, you know, to think about, hey, I'm doing this, and I'm really pursuing because there's a prize at the end. That's kind of unspiritual. But according to Paul, that is not unspiritual at all. Now, that's not our only motivation, obviously. But it's okay to have goals, spiritual goals, knowing that there's a reward for those things at the end. What else?
I think all of the goals, whether they're spiritual or not, if there isn't some kind of a reward mechanism tied into that, I think in many ways that is one of the reasons why people stop,
mm-hmm.
you know, the finance issue, you know, I mean, if you're trying to get out of debt, what is the benefit of that? There's got to be enough of a reward, kind of a, you know, a reward return to really motivate and keep that going.
Yeah. What are some, when you think about that, we get a reward, pay off your house. The reward is to burn the mortgage like we did here with the ministry. We paid it off so we could, you know, burn the mortgage. Even a small symbolic thing sometimes helps us continue to pursue a reward. One of the reasons you think even when kids, when they pursue a goal, they want to win. They want to, there's a reward at the end. It's important. Okay, yes.
Dr. Randy, I found that in my own personal life that setting a dedicated time was very critical. You know, you can have lofty goals, like every day I want to do this. I found that the way I was successful is to set a specific allotment of time. So every morning, you know, a specific time, every evening, a specific time. And that created a success for me because it formed a habit that achieved my goals with God being the intention.
Good. Which I think, piggybacking on that, I think this here is a big thing, you know, the power of one thing. The idea of really knowing, you know, we've seen the illustration Stephen Covey's done, getting the big rocks in first before you put the small rocks in and so on. I mean, this stuff is not rocket science, but we don't do it. And that's what I've been really thinking about. Why is it that if we know you're going to be, quote, 30 times more successful in whatever it is, if you set a goal, why is only 3% of us do it? And I really think what holds us back is this isn't strong enough. Until the intention is so overpoweringly consuming in our life, this is work. Let's face it, this is work. I mean, look at the words he uses. I stretch, I pursue, I reach. I mean, that all involves commitment and work. He doesn't say, I sit, I put my feet up, you know. It was work. And without this, to know God, without that being the driving energy, this is the fuel down here that drives these other things in our life. If I want to get out of debt, let's use that as a real practical example. If you say, hey, I set up a goal to get out of debt because you're just tired of, you've got financial stress or whatever it is. But you're going to get weary doing that process if you don't have something driving that that's bigger than just getting out of debt. I mean, that's a nice goal, and it, you know, you might get to it even, but it could be more hollow at the end if it wasn't backed with something of the why I'm doing it. Dawn?
I don't think we can overestimate or maybe underestimate the power of the enemy of our faith over some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the why truly is, you know, that's the reason, that's the thing that should motivate you. Taking health as an example, if your why to lose weight or to get healthier is because you want to have more years with your kids or more years with your family, well, I mean, that's the strongest why you could have. But I think the enemy works against us, and that's why, I mean, if that was the case and that was all it was, there'd be no overweight people. You know what I mean? We'd all be happy and living long lives. But I think that the enemy comes against us with those intentions and those habits and just tries to bring us down every time, you know, saying, no, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and I think too often we buy into that because it's just the way we've always done it.
It's the way we've always done it, and it's easier. It's not easy to press and pursue and stretch. It's easier to do what I've always done. because that's the way I've always done it. You think about the goals that we set with Share-a-thon, or when we do a mailing or an event or whatever, we have goals, and I get caught in that. How many people are coming, and do we meet budget and all that? Which, you know, those are things you need to manage carefully. But if this isn't right, if the intention isn't there in terms of the ultimate to help people really know God and to strengthen their life, this is what sustains us when the goal maybe isn't being met. This is where we're going to get sustained, not here. Because when you hit a goal, you're up. You ever notice that? You have a good day, you're up. You hit the goal and everything's great. You have a bad day, you miss the goal, you're down. And I think the reason we can ride that roller coaster is because of this, the intention part. If this is straight, that helps us level out. The highs aren't quite so high because you realize this is, you know, God doing the work, and the lows aren't so low because you just recognize it's still God's intention that we're concerned about.
Hi, Dr. Carlson. I just wanted to say thank you. I did go through a rough period about a year and a half ago. My marriage was falling apart, and I had called and I had actually talked to you and said to set goals for one day at a time because it was so hard when my husband left to set any long-term goals. So I set the goal for short terms, and I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for those people who were praying for us. My husband and I are together still. He came back home, and we are both living intentionally, and I have a better marriage than I did before, with both of us loving each other and doing the right things and walking intentionally with Christ. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and you're doing it. You're living intentionally. That's why we're here, thanks to our members being able to do this every day. You know, we're just a month away now from the launch of our Intentional Love Marriage Conferences. Very unique. It's a date night for couples. I'm going to be teaching the 10 love habits, and I'm putting it into the framework of what does it mean to experience an intentional life? What is this? What is this thing of intentional living as it specifically relates to marriage? Lots of stories. You're going to laugh. I'm going to illustrate, and you're going to learn. It's going to be a great evening. In fact, I encourage you to bring some other couples with you. Maybe this is a ministry opportunity. Watch the kids as grandparents and send your kids. Make sure they get out there. This is going to be a learning time and just a lot of fun as well in the process. All right, Michigan, we're going to be in Midland and Jackson, October 13 and 15, Albuquerque, October 27, Glendale and Chandler, November 3 and 5, and then Tucson, November 10. All the information's available, and you can get registered today. Do it quickly. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on events. You'll see it there. Tomorrow we're going to wrap up this series on Achieve Your Goals. Hope you can come and join us here at the Intentional Living Center. See you then.